Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with our guest speaker.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you as we enter this new year. Father, I ask that you just watch over each one of us, turn our hearts and our minds towards you. May we make you the focus of everything we do and keep you in mind. Father, we ask for a blessing on our offering, that we may use it well and that we may keep you in mind as we do such. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Shall we stand?
Thank you.
Good morning, church. It's nice to see everyone. Happy New Year's. We made it through Thanksgiving, Turkey Day. We made it through Christ's birthday, Christmas, and it looks like we made it through New Year's. So happy New Year's. About a month ago, I was up here and we talked about who are we or who are you? And today is part two of that. So we talked a little bit and referred to it as to find out who you are. You have to understand why I called five key light bulb moments. And they were that you are a child of God. You are someone who is deeply loved by God. That in Christ, you know true joy. That you are God's special possession. And that we're created in God's image. If you can understand those five principles, those light bulb moments that I said, you will know who you are. Can we agree with that? Yes? Come on, church. This is interactive here. The less you interact, the longer I preach. So if you have Bluetooth on your phone, turn your roast down. So this is about as loud as I can get. I'm sorry, I got a chest cold. It's been rough the last couple weeks, but here we go. So with that being said, this is part two of three. So if you understand who you are, 100% who you are in God, then you can be thankful. Can we agree with that? Yes, thank you. Awesome. There's four of us here. So we can understand that to be thankful. And for me, thankfulness is hard. You know, it really is. For me to go, yay, great, I'm thankful. Or am I thankful? But what is thankfulness? You know, we can look at it different ways, right? Like I said, we made it through Thanksgiving, we made it through Christmas, and we made it through New Year's Eve. We're starting the new year. So it was awesome. Tim asked me to fill the pulpit today, which was great. Kind of an honor starting the new year out with a bang. Excuse me. Thankfulness is more than what we think it is. Thankfulness isn't just what God blesses us with. That everything that we have, we should be thankful for. Can we agree with that? Yes. That knowing how to be thankful is so important. That we are a nation blessed hand over foot by God. Can we agree with that? Yes, we are. That we can drive over to Shaw's and get what we want. Tim was like, you need water? And you got it from me, brother. Thank you. That every part of our being should just pulse around God. That is thankfulness. Because if we understand who we are and what we're supposed to do, we can be thankful for it. And that is hard for me. Because one, I know I'm a child of God. Two, I know I'm hard-headed, right? As my wife goes, amen. But in reality, folks, can't we say we're all hard-headed? Yes? Can't we all just, for a moment in our life, slow down and go, Lord, what do you want from me? Where do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? Instead of, I went to work and I made a check today. Whoop-de-doo. What's God want you to do? What does he want you to do with that check? What's he want you to do with your family? What's he want you to do to take and guide them and direct them and protect them? And I'm not just talking your immediate family that lives in your house. Church, we're a family, right? Amen? All of us together are a family. Can we justifiably look around the doors and look at the windows and look outside and go, wow, I'm thankful. I'm blessed. I say it again, that's hard for me. But today, hopefully, this is part two of three. Hopefully today will help you with a little bit of it. It's helped me. I put this together again a little while ago. It's funny. Tim's like, hey, you want to preach? It's already done. Tim, no. How many times I said that? I mean, Tim just laughs. What do you mean it's done? Oh, it's done. I just got to put it on paper. Really? Yeah. Part three's done. I got to put it on paper. God just throws it out there. That's being thankful. Being thankful for the word of God that can take and hold us and bind us and bring us up in unity. Amen, right? That's what we need to be thankful for. Because without God's word, without God's stipulations and guidance and protection and knowing who we are, we'll never be thankful. We'll work harder, we'll fill our vault, and we'll die grumpy and broke. Amen. We will, because we can't take it with us, right? Guess what? We fill the vault. Guess who's going to get it? My sons. The bank. But I'm going to pray. Are we ready? Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word. I thank you, Lord, for this church family. I thank you, Lord, for just your blessings. Fill our hearts, Lord. Bless us in ways we can never imagine. Help me, Lord, to be a good spokesman for you. Let all my words be true. If they aren't true, Lord, then shut my mouth. Let everyone here be blessed richly in ways they can never imagine. Let the ones who are listening today or watching today be blessed. Lord, somebody out there needs to know what it is to be thankful. They know that they're looking. Guide them and direct them to us, Lord. Protect them. Most of all, Lord, let us shine for you in your holy name. Amen. So today I've got four primary points I'm going to go over. Now, there's going to be some writing, so grab your utensils. It's awesome. I like points because me, if I write them down, then I remember them. The first point is this, that you have value. To be thankful, church, you have to understand you have value. Do you hear me on that? Because if you walk around and you think you have no value, you're lying to yourself. Because the individual you talk to may see you as valueless, have no value. The individual that they look at, they may see with no value. But let me tell you, in God's eyes, you have what? Excellent value. We're going to get through this sermon quicker. We have value. And value, the first part of value to me is this, our life. Key point number one, our life has value. I'm not talking about what we do, right? I work at Purina, I make dog food. That is not the value I'm talking about. My life has value. Your life has value. When you were conceived and when you were in your mother's womb, God had a purpose for you. And that purpose is what? Value. If we don't understand our life has value, we're going to walk around our whole lives lost because we don't understand what value is. Our value is not measured by someone else and cannot have value through someone else. Our value comes from the Lord. If we do not understand our value to and for the Lord, we will never be thankful because we will always try to fulfill our value with possessions. Our value is made up of three points. I said it before. Our life is number one. Matthew 6:25-27. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, but what you will put on it. It is not life more than food and the body and the clothing. Look to the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather barns. yet the Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add a cubit to your stature? That's right. Our life has value. You know, you may work for a factory, you may lop off a finger, and they're going to pay you for that finger, but guess what? Is that true value? No. You may lop off a limb, and somebody may pay you for that limb. Does that life have value? Can it grow itself back? No. Our life, our body, our being is what has the value. Our God doesn't make junk. You know, I joked with Angie a little while this morning, and I'll bring it up. You know, I tell her that she's been my wife for 52 years. Laugh. She's been my wife for 52 years. I've told her that more than once. And the reason I say it is this. She's younger than I am. God took a while and said, what can I make this man? And created Angie. But why am I laughing about it? Is our life has value. God pours into our life. He pours into us the things that will enrich in us. My wife and my in-laws enriching me to a point that I can never, ever repay. That has value. Our life is designed to do that, folks. Our life is designed to pour in to other people, because if we know the truth, right, and the truth dwells inside of us and it percolates like the old coffee pot, it comes out. We are to do that. We are to take that value and put that value into somebody else so they know that they have value. It's called discipleship. That's a big word, ain't it? If our lives were fully on fire for God, for the church and our community, what would this community look like? I'll go further. I would think teen and child suicide would drop. Can we agree? Yeah? I'll go further. What about the sex trade? Because now people would see them for value through God instead of value for what they can offer. Yes? Folks, number one is our life. Don't waste it. Our life has value. Number two is our possessions. Our possessions are blessed from us through the Lord. That is what helps us with value, our possessions. It kind of sounds funny, but it's true. We just talked about our tithe, right? That tithe goes in the back of the plate, and that tithe pays for the bills here. It pays for our pastoral team. It pays for the everything that we look and see around. Tell you what, it pays for everything outside the church also, if we're doing ministries outside the church. That's where that money goes. That's why it's so important. And we take part of that money and we take part of it and it goes to our denomination. And guess what? The denomination then can what? Go outside their doors, right? And that is part of our possessions. That is part of our value. Matthew 6:28-31. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil or spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like these. Now if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is today and tomorrow thrown in the oven, will he not as much clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, don't worry saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what should I wear? Our value. God gives us everything. I'm not talking wants. Would I love to have some really nice, do I want some really nice, just crazy shoes? Oh, it'd be great, you know? Or a nice four-piece suit that would fit nice, hand-tailored. Absolutely. God didn't promise that to me. You know what he promised me? Hold on, wait a minute here. I'm kind of slow. How about eat and drink and something to wear? Right, amen? Eat and drink and something to wear. If I've got that, I've got value. I do. I got value. Because I know my Lord God provided it. I know that he gave it to me. I know he gave me the will and the ability to take and gather it. I know that he is looking out after me. And guess what, folks? He's looking out after you. He's looking out after the one watching right now who is wandering around lost and doesn't know what he or she is going to do. He's looking after the one right now who's strung out and drugged out and drunk that may listen to this in a week or two. He's listening to the one that may be putting a noose around their garage rafter right now. Our value, church, is why we are in the situation we're in right now. Because we've lost our thought of values. We've lost our thought of what we are worth in God's eyes. We've lost that. Number three is our wisdom. Our wisdom is huge. Matthew 10, 24 through 31 says this, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he be like the teacher and the servant like the master. If they have called the master the house of Beelzebub, how much more will they call the household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that I will not reveal and hidden that I will not let known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and whatever you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who will kill the body. They cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground, the Father's will, but their hairs on their head, but your hairs on the head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valuable than sparrows. Now this is interesting to me because it's not just about financial wealth. Excuse me. I'm going to start up with 26. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be unknown. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And whatever your ear hears, preaches in the housetops. Church, this is our commission. This is the wisdom from God. He is taking and handing it over to us. It's like taking the scepter of a king and he's going, here you go. This is your job now. You are to do this. Our wisdom is value, and the only value that I can actually say and the only wisdom that I know is right here. Amen? Come on. Louder. Yes? Amen? This value, this wisdom never changes. So why are we so scared to take and hand it off? You know, if somebody gives me something, guess what? I, in most of the time, want to share it. I'll be truthful. I'm going to be truthful. It depends what it is. Blackberry sour cream pie, you're not getting none. But our God's word is so valuable. It's priceless. You can't ever replace it. You can't ever change it. You can't do anything except take it in like a piece of honeycomb and love it, every bit of it, and nourish it into your body and take it. And guess what? Once you get it, you take and you hand it off. Because if you understand your life, and you understand your possessions, can you not then understand your wisdom? Come on. Can we not take that wisdom and hand it off so somebody's not walking around blind? Walking around to the point of no return? The difference is this. God allows us to understand the difference between good and evil. Does he not? That little gut check you get when somebody's rambling on the radio. Kind of like I'm going to be here shortly, right? Where you're like, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Have you ever gone to a funeral where you're like, ah, ha, 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 that's not right? Yeah, we have, haven't we? Yeah. And everybody's gone, and you're like, hey, brother, you know, I appreciate your time and what you did, but that wasn't right. Well, why wasn't it right? Because that wasn't right. The wisdom of the Lord that guides us and directs us and protects us and gives us everything we have. He ignites our tongue with the flame of the Holy Spirit so we can speak the truth. Truth is the ultimate value, and there is only one truth, and that's the Word of God. Amen. Thank you, Mary. That power that comes over us when we fast. I'm not just saying, hey, I'm not hungry. I'm not going to do nothing today. I'm not going to eat. But you deliberately skip that meal and you're in prayer and you're like, Lord, anoint me. Fall upon me and rain me. Just take and give me the words that you want to say, Lord. And you take and you do it day after day after day after day. And you're just begging the Lord to change your life and give you wisdom. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to give you some wisdom. It may come at a cost, right? To get one thing, you have to do another. That's how it works. But is it not worth it? Absolutely. Wisdom. Lord, give us more wisdom. Number two is this. You can have comfort in his provisions. That when times are rough and you just don't know how to do it, guess what? You can have comfort in his provisions. That God will step through. God will guide us, direct us, protect us, and just do everything he can for us when you're at the lowest of low in your life. Angie and I have been there. I'm sure most of you have been there to the point where you just get up in the morning and all you want to do is fall on your face and cry because you just give up. That your heart is so broke. All you can do is pray. That all you can do is just beg for the weight to be taken off. And about the time you just get to that point where you've had enough, God shows up. He provides. 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 28. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with a rod. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. And a night and a day in the deep. In journeys often, in perils and waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, and sleepless often, in hunger and thirst, fasting often, in cold, nakedness, besides these others that comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all churches. Of anyone to write this, Paul, right? He writes this down. He's not really bragging it here, but he is. He's been through it all. How do we know in our struggles, how do we know that God's going to take care of us? How do we know? Right? You get up in the morning. You get dressed. You put your socks on. Put your shoes on. And you're so fed up, you brush your teeth and your teeth hurt. Because you're so depressed and just out of it. You brush your hair and your hair hurts. Because you're struggling and your body is in mourning, just like you've lost everything. Through our struggles, God reveals himself in the gentlest of way. It may be something as small as a simple breeze, and you're outside and the rain comes, and you get this soft, sweet rain fall on you, and you know our God is real. Amen? You know he's real. He provided that simple breeze and that simple rain for you to divert your mind and your thoughts off of what was going on and to relax for one moment so you could catch your breath and regroup. God provides through our struggles. The second one is learning trust, that we have to learn trust. Philippians 4, 12 through 13. I know how it is to be abased. I know how it is to be abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound, to suffer in need. I can do all things through who? Christ who strengthens me. Learning trust is hard because guess what? You have to walk your path to learn the trust, do you not? You have to walk it. But the, you know the nice thing about walking your path is because if you're struggling and you've got to your struggle and guess what? You've seen some type of assistance. You've seen some type of uplifting. God is there too and you're learning your trust. That no matter what you go through, no matter what it is, God will get you through it. Yes? That is learning trust. That is hard for me to trust people. Trust is hard. You have to come to a point where you want to learn to trust. We are our own people. We are our own thought process. We are our own mind, and we don't want to give up that little piece and learn trust. So I ask you, church, please, let yourself learn trust in this new year. Number three is this. God's word is true. Amen. 2 Samuel 7 through 28. And now, O Lord, you are God, and your words are true, and you have come and promised good things to your servant. David has talked to Nathan here, and this is awesome. If you remember the story, if not, I'm going to let you in a little bit. David is living in a palace, a cedar palace, right? And there is no shelter, no building as of yet for God, for the ark. There is nothing there as of yet. And he's talking to Nathan back and forth, and Nathan's like, well, if it's in your heart, go do it. And so he's taking and he's getting ready to build and get it ready for the ark, and God starts making a covenant with David at this. God's excited. God creates a covenant, as I said, to plant Israel, to make them a nation of their own land, that they'll move no more, that Israel will be there, that that land will be theirs. And let me tell you, also he goes further, he says, that I will make a seed out of you, and that seed will be on the throne forever. What seed is that? One more time. I'm sorry, deaf ear. One more time. Jesus. That seed is who it is. That seed came from David. That seed was promised. If you can't believe that God's word is true, then why do we have Christmas? Seriously, you're gonna take and enjoy Easter. Okay, let's slaughter the lamb, but we're not gonna, hey, let's have Christmas and accept him. Where is he? Here he is. Right? God's word is true. People will lie to you. The banks will lie to you, right? Our word will never lie to you. It's been proven. What makes judgments true? That's hard for me. How do we know if we're talking about truth here, right? What makes a judgment come true? I think it's like this, Psalms 19:9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, righteous, and altogether. And if you jump up a couple verses and you start at 7 on this, right? You start 7 and go 7 to 8. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, covering the soul. That it covers us to the inmost being. The law of the Lord covers us. That the testimony of the Lord is sure, making it wise and simple. Guess what? It's called child faith. Who's got that? Yeah, Kat's up there. She's got it, right? That we have to have childlike faith. If God says it and it's in our book, it's true. Why do we make it harder than it really is? He says, come. So why don't you just come? Just come. We'll sit down like hippies, whatever you want to do, and we'll talk about it. I don't care. I'll get a cup of coffee. It's so true. It's the only thing in my life that I have known to be true. The only thing. My wife's pretty darn close. Christmas and birthdays, she lies. But so do I. But it's true. When I sit down for a meal, no matter what that meal is, and I'm cutting into it, God gave that meal to me. I'm rambling, I apologize. John 18:37. Pilate therefore said to him, are you the king then? And Jesus said, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I bear witness of the truth. Everyone is of the truth who hears my voice. Slow down. Slow down. Take your time. You're driving to work. Turn your phone off. Turn your radio off and pray. Before you get up or go to bed, pray. God wants to talk to you. He wants to. He enjoys communion with you. That truth that he is able to get, it's right here. Everyone who is the truth hears my voice. It's our jobs to take and pass it along. That's why the world, that's why Mount Carroll, that's why Illinois, well, that's why we're in a situation we're in. Because we've lost reality of the truth. And I'm not just picking on the church here. I'm picking on human race. I'm going to close with this. Number four is this, the last one. God will give you rest. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, loving in heart. And you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christ is calling us. Christ is calling the ones listening or going to watch. We take the message and we present it in a way that everybody can kind of understand. And that yoke is, you're tired and you're burned out and you don't know what you're doing. Well, stop doing what you're doing. I'm preaching to myself right now. You get to a point in your life where you're just so beat up. Maybe it's because you're doing it alone, right? Maybe you're doing it alone. Christ says, come, take my yoke. If we're shackled in with him, who do you think is going to be leading, right? He's going to take that away from us, and he's going to free us up, and he's going to allow us to keep trudging forward. I got an awesome shirt for Christmas. Angie bought it for me. It says, I am a Ricketts. I don't finish when I'm tired. I finish when I'm done. Church, we're not done. We're not even close to being done. Let somebody yoke in with you. You find somebody beat up and tired, church, yoke in with them. Drag them along. We're on a fun journey, and it's not over yet. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you, Lord, for the worship team and everybody listening and watching, Lord. Guide them and direct and protect them. If somebody's looking, Lord, and just going to hear this message, let them call the church. They can talk to one of us. We'll talk to them and guide them. We'll help them on their journey. Fill us with wisdom, Lord, in your holy name. Amen. Please, everyone, stand. family, may you be blessed in the upcoming year. Happy New Year's. May everything you touch, everyone you talk to, and everything that comes into or around you be blessed.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.